my greatest joys is seeing my kids walk their faith out. That's the first thing. The second thing is them using their gifts to serve the kingdom of God and to serve us this morning. And we couldn't do it without them. So I'm so excited that they are involved. Our kids are involved. One of the greatest joys for us is seeing that. For both of my girls, one of the things that Jason and I always prayed for them was that they would actually experience God and the goodness of God firsthand. The prayer that we prayed over our kids was this. It was Psalms 34:8. Jason and I always prayed this, that they would taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. We want them to have that personal experience with God, not just to hear from mom and dad, not just to show up and to sit with us in church and to watch us have our time with the Lord. We want them to taste and see that the Lord is good. That's what this is all about. It's not just about us talking about God. It's about us experiencing him for ourselves. And as humans, we ask a lot of questions. Our kids ask a lot of questions, right, moms? Kids ask a lot of questions. But you know, I remember a time when I found this new tool. I don't even remember what year it is. I should have looked it up. It was a long time ago. It was probably around 2000. That's when I kind of remember the internet kind of kicking up. And there was this thing called Google. And you could ask it any question you wanted to. And I thought, how amazing is that? So I began to use Google in my life, and I often hear myself saying, hold on, let me Google that. Because, you know, you can believe everything you read on the internet, right? But I thought it was interesting. I got a list from Google of the top questions asked just this past month. This is in the last month. Here are the top questions that people ask. We're not alone in asking these. 1.2 million questions were asked about what to watch. What can I watch on TV? And then another 1.1 million asked, what time is it? Because Google knows, right? And then what is my IP address? How many weeks are in a year? How many ounces are in a cup? That's a good one. I never can remember. How many days until Christmas? When is the Super Bowl? I guess a lot of people care about the Super Bowl. When is Easter? How to screenshot on a Mac? That's an important one to know. Who called me from this phone? When is Father's Day was number 11? How to tie a tie? How to screenshot on Windows? How many ounces are in a pound? When is Thanksgiving? What song is this? And then number 17, when is Mother's Day? I thought, why is Father's Day at the top? I was just a little curious about that. But anyway, we ask a lot of questions. And one of those biggest questions that we ask as humans is this: is God good? Eventually, we all come to a point when we go, okay, is God good? Because I'm not seeing that right now. You know, if we answer that based solely on the natural and what we see, our natural understanding with death, politics, sickness, disease, racism, even evil in the world, it's only natural to think, is God good? And to ask that question. This morning, I want to tell you that God is good. And we already sang about it in worship. We've witnessed his goodness. But let's be honest. Sometimes things just don't make sense in our human minds. So today I want to answer that question to you. Yes, God is good. That's an easy question. But I also want to give you some tools to remember God is good. And the tool that the number one thing that you can remember is by experiencing him yourself. When you witness the goodness of God, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's when we can remember that God is good. All of these notifications are coming up on my computer. And somebody needs to answer their phone or something. It's not me, I promise. You know, the goodness of God is to be experienced. So how do we experience those? the number one thing is to think on good things. To think. In Philippians 4, it tells us this. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So it's the things that we think about. You know, if we just think of the world in the things that we experience in the natural, then it's easy to not hear and to see the goodness of God. But when we experience God in a messed up world, here's how you do that. You think of the good things. Our brains are bent toward thinking all these other things. I heard a speaker a couple of weeks ago, Dr. Darla Rakes, and she said this. She said, our brains and our mind is a tool to be trained and should not be used as a driver of our beliefs, but a resource to receive God's truth. I thought, wow, that is so deep and that is so good, because our minds can run crazy sometimes. The number one thing that's affected our culture's ability to experience the peace of God is our habits as humans to let our minds just run and run and run. And it's also Satan's number one tool that he uses against us to tell us those lies that God is not good. And even in the Bible, if you think about the stories in the Bible, you know, Mary was an unwed pregnant teenager. That's not good. Or Jesus was rejected by his own people. Jesus was also betrayed by Judas, his best friend. Jesus died a horrible and violent death. Are those all facts that we read about in the Bible? But if we just stopped right there in that story, if we just think about all the negatives, then we miss the goodness of God. You know, Mary was a virgin that gave birth to the spotless lamb who would bring salvation to the world. That's the full story. Jesus' rejection was a testimony about never giving up, never being tripped up because of his family or his own nation. Jesus showed us how to persevere. Jesus did die a horrible death, but he also demonstrated the supernatural authority and power of God by resurrecting and becoming our rescue story. It's the full story that you've got to understand. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5 says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war like the world. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." We think about the goodness of God. We remember Jesus' full story. We remember that even though it seemed bad in the beginning, we know the end of the story. If nothing else in life works out for us, God did not fail in Jesus' story. So how do we experience God in a messed up world? Number one, we think on the good things. We take captive every thought and we remember that God did not fail. Number two is we speak the words of truth over our situation. You've got to speak that truth over your situation. You know, I've been taught my whole life that words are powerful. And it's so true. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, "The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences." You know, I remember when my girls were learning to walk, and I learned real quickly what not to speak over them. Because I was kind of one of those moms that God did not give me boys for a reason, because I wanted to bubble wrap my kids everywhere they went. I had to make sure they were okay. I still do, and Life 360 is on my phone. But when they were learning to walk, I realized real quick, if they take a couple of steps, if I reacted and said, oh no, what happens? They startle and then they fall. If they fall down and you say, oh no, you can't do that. You failed. You're not a walker. Just sit down. No. As a mom, you say, come on, you can do it. You can do it. Get up and do it again. Try again. You know, what we speak to our kids, even as they're learning to walk, is powerful. And you've got to speak that truth. We know God created this baby to walk. So come on, you're going to do it. You're going to walk. And it's the same thing for us Christians. If we constantly think about and we talk about and we share all the bad in the world that we always see, we're not magnifying the truth. We're not magnifying that Jesus has already overcame the world and all the things in it. John 12, 31 through 32, it says, the time for judging this world has come, when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. You know, that was a prophetic word spoken by Jesus. He said, when I die on the cross and then my body is lifted up again, people will be drawn to that. People are drawn to the full story of Jesus. His death and resurrection is what rescues people out of what we call this world. That's the truth. So how is Satan cast out? How is the ruler of all things in the world not able to win in your life? It's when we lift up and magnify and exalt the name of Jesus and all that means to us. It reminds us that Jesus conquered death and all things bad. What are you saying to yourself today? I am alone. Maybe you're saying to yourself, I'm worthless. I'm fearful. I am fill in the blank. What are you asking? And you know, Pastor Jay has said from this pulpit many times, it's okay to not be okay. And that's so true. It's okay to not be okay. But he also said, it's not okay to stay not okay. And we've watched him walk that same truth every day, walk that fact out that he's going to be okay because he's speaking the words of truth over his life. If you feel alone or you feel weak, Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. If you do feel worthless, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin become sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. When you feel afraid, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, the Spirit of God does not make me timid, but gives me power, love, and a sound mind. That's what Jesus' death and resurrection did for us. When we face those things on earth, we can remember that God is good. God is good. So, number three, how do we experience God in a messed up world? How do we experience the goodness of God? One, we think on the good things. Two, we speak the words of truth over our situation. And then lastly, number three, we share our own experiences. You know, in Revelation 12, it says, they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, the death and the resurrection, the blood of the Lamb, and because the word of their testimony. When we share about God's goodness and about the things that we've walked through, and we share, here's how I'm hurting, but God, when we share that experience, that is how we experience the goodness of God and help others to experience the good of God. And when we magnify our experience along with that, but God did not fail, we're lifting up the name of Jesus over and over and over again. You know, there's so many people in our church sitting, there's people sitting in this room right now, right here. I've heard your stories and I know your stories. But I asked some ladies, some people that I work with and people that come to church here, some close friends and some people that are just acquaintances. I said, can you share your story with me? Share me with me so that I could share with the church your God did not fail story. And so I'm going to read through those. And I want you to know these are not just fictional stories, made up stories. These are stories of people that sit next to you in church. These are stories of people that serve in our kids area. These are people that work in our office. And this is what they had to say. Barbara Creel said this. She said, during the final years of my dad's life, he was prone to falling. After a difficult fall where he wasn't able to physically help me in getting him off the floor, I felt overwhelmed. I prayed and I told God, I don't know how much longer I will be able to lift him. And I heard the Lord say, when you need strength, you will have it. The Lord never failed me. I always had the strength to get him up, whether he was able to help or not. God not only gave me physical, but he also gave me emotional and the spiritual strength that I needed to get through. My God did not fail. And then Wilma Stewart, who's our life group coordinator, she said this. She said, the Lord is faithful at teaching and showing me experientially that nothing in my life is ever wasted. She said, last month when taking my brother for his chemotherapy treatment, I was allowed to wait in the treatment area where patients are dressed to wait for theirs. While there was a visibly distraught young lady who came in and was waiting with us. I went over to sit with her. She was devastated to learn that the brain cancer, which had been put into remission, was back in her brain. I tried to encourage her by sharing with her how the treatments have so advanced over the last years and that the doctors didn't have the last word. And she took the bait and she said, God is faithful no matter the outcome. And I asked if I could pray for her. And after that, we stood, we embraced each other. A nurse came in as we were embracing, smiled and told us to take our time. And then she said she would come back. The look of devastation that initially was seen on this young girl's face was replaced by strength and resolve. And then Kelsey Smith, who is one of our young women in this church, she said this, after graduating from college, I found my dream job. I quickly realized that it wasn't what I was hoping it would be. My prayer to God was that he would help me get through the school year, but my heart was telling me I needed to resign. However, my head was telling me I made a commitment. I was praying one day during my break, and I prayed and asked God to guide my decision. And once I said amen, I had such an absolute peace about my decision. So the next day, I handed in my resignation to the school, and the burden I carried was lifted. About a week later, I got a call from a private school, and they wanted to hire me to help in the first grade. And then after 2 years of that, that school closed, and I was asking God for guidance again. And as I was praying for direction, God opened another door to another Christian school that I've been at for 5 years, and I know that's where God has called me to be. I know there was a purpose, and God had a plan for me. Never once did he fail. And then Nikki Maccabee, who works in our kids and special needs, she went through a battle back in 2019, and she said this. She said, in January 2019, I was diagnosed with early breast cancer. This was a year and a half after my doctor watching a suspicious spot. And this led to biopsies that were benign, but then just 6 months before my diagnosis. But even after the clean biopsies, my doctor scheduled another mammogram, which this time led to a cancer diagnosis. God directed my doctors to stay vigilant, and God directed my steps and led me to the best team of doctors who provided me with the best care, and today I am cancer-free. Looking back, I can see that every step of my 2-year journey is a part of my miracle story. My God did not fail. And then lastly, this is one of my best friends, Crystal Connor. She said this, ever since I can remember, I desired to be a mom. The years have been hard and desperate at times, filled with physical and mental anguish because the thing that my body was created to do always failed. Reminders of what I am not is around every corner. When motherhood is celebrated, women who never succeed in this calling are left behind. Yet, through it all, the Lord remained the constant. A few years ago, as I was praying, coming to terms with the fact that the door was officially closing on this chapter of my life, I heard Jesus whisper to me, "I am the desire of your heart, and I always have been." And it allowed me to release so much heartache. There's still times it's painful, but he is still good. Psalm 37:4 says, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." And I don't know the answers to why not me, but I take comfort in delighting in the Lord. He has now placed young women in my life that I get to mother, and I get to spiritual mother, and that helps heal my heart more than anything. And guess what? My God did not fail. My God did not fail. All of those stories, it seemed hopeless at the beginning. And as we walk through life, it's this up and down and hopeless, and it's an emotional roller coaster sometimes. And the one thing that remains the same is that God is good. And God did not fail. I remember talking to Charmaine several years ago. She was walking through some stuff. We know Charmaine. She grew up in this church learning to sing and use her gift for God. And she blesses us almost every Sunday when she's up here on stage. She just brings the presence of God. She leads us into it. But you know what? Even Charmaine walks through some things. We all walk through some things. And I remember several years ago looking at Charmaine as she was walking through some stuff. And she was just smiling, and I said, "Are you okay?" And she goes, "You know what? I will be okay, because there's one thing that remains. God is good. God is good." So this morning, I asked Charmaine to come use her gift to remind us that God did not fail. Wherever you're at in your story, whatever part of your story that you need God to bring in you some goodness into your life, God is here. God's presence is here. And God did not fail, and he will not fail.